when judging scripts at Paramount. But he and Katzenberg agreed that, at the very least, it would not be another Black Cauldron. Roy pressed for a green light, pointing out that Disney risked losing its most talented animators if they didn't have something to work on. Eisner asked the animators how much more time they needed. 2 years, Clemens said. I want it in one. How much will it cost?
About $24 million.
Nope, Eisner said. $12 million. In the end, they got the green light and a budget of $10 million. Katzenberg moved quickly to put his stamp on the animation division. He scheduled his first major meeting for a Sunday at 7 a.m. Not yet familiar with Katzenberg's work habits, Roy and the animators took this as an affront. Patty Disney told Roy, "Tell Jeffrey that if he ever makes you do this again, you're going to show up in your pajamas." The meeting got off to a bad start when Katzenberg discovered that no one had stocked the room with Diet Coke. A few days later, Eisner issued invitations to one of his gong shows, a first for the animators. He told them he wanted 5 new ideas from each of them. Clemens went to a bookstore and started leafing through a book of fairy tales. One caught his eye, Hans Christian Andersen's Little Mermaid. Though the fairy tale had a sad ending, the mermaid dies, Clemens wrote a 2-page treatment in which the mermaid becomes human after meeting her prince. He was also a big fan of science fiction at the time, so his other ideas were all science fiction, including one he jotted down, Treasure Island in Space. Eisner and Katzenberg went around the table and the animators got a crash course in high concept. When Clemens's turn came, he said, "The Little Mermaid." "Gong," Eisner and Katzenberg said in unison. "Too similar to Splash." "Okay, how about Treasure Island in Space?" "Gong." Eisner knew that Paramount was already developing a Star Trek sequel with a Treasure Island angle. Pete Young, another animator, suggested, "Oliver Twist with dogs." Everybody waited for the gong, but none came. Then Katzenberg said he loved it. He'd wanted to do a live-action film of the Broadway musical Oliver while at Paramount, but it had never gotten out of development. Now Katzenberg had the idea that they could do a Broadway musical as an animated feature, with dogs in the main roles. Oliver Twist with dogs got the go-ahead. Clemens left the meeting depressed. He'd been gonged after only a few words. But Roy came up to him afterward and said he liked the Little Mermaid idea. And the next morning, Katzenberg called to say he'd read all 5 of his ideas overnight. He, too, said he liked the mermaid idea and suggested that Clemens expand his treatment. Clemens was amazed and impressed that a high-ranking executive like Katzenberg had actually read his material and reacted to it so quickly. Another idea Eisner and Katzenberg liked was a project already in development from the Ron Miller era, a live-action animated hybrid based on a book called Who Censored Roger Rabbit? Part of the plot hinged on the lack of public transportation in Los Angeles, a theme that resonated with Eisner, who still missed New York's public transport system. As Katzenberg spent more time with the animators, he started browsing in the Disney Animation archives. He was amazed to discover that Disney maintained a vast trove of documentary material that included practically everything Walt had ever written and said. Stenographers had been employed to follow Walt around and take down everything, so there were long